Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Jim Ronson. Jim, you told us before the break about your first novel, Power and Possessions, what inspired the novel and so on, The Tale of Skeleton Lake. And you'd mentioned in there that also when you write a novel, you, especially a crime novel, you have to outline it first. So that makes me wonder, is the plot the most important element in a crime novel?
I think that's fair to say that the plot is very important. And in my particular novel, there are three plots really happening. And so I had to outline each of the three plots, and then I had to interweave the three plots together. And that was the most challenging part of putting the novel together, was how to work the three plots together so that they became a whole.
So they're not necessarily two subplots, they're like three different stories?
Well, I would say that there is a main plot and then a subplot, but the two become intertwined as the novel proceeds.
Now, I've talked to writers before who say that if they know their whole story before they start, they lose passion and energy. That doesn't happen for you?
I don't think it really does. No, I think that each chapter for me is a new beginning, and so I sometimes take a few days to think about what's going to happen in that particular chapter. And I think that the passion comes for me in the writing process.
Hmm. You have a personal knowledge of gaming, having written a gaming zine. Do you still play computer war games? And, you know, what is that business side of the gaming world like?
Actually, when I first produced the zine, it was for a board game, and it was called Diplomacy. You'll probably recall that back then some people played chess by mail. Well, we played Diplomacy by mail, which involves seven different players at war with one another in around the time of the First World War. And so I invented a game called Berserker, which was based on the game of Diplomacy. I didn't start to play wargaming video games until much later, and I really can't say that I am much of a gamer. As to the research that I put into the gaming business, it was interesting to be able to find out about the gaming business. It's really dominated by three large companies. We have Sony, we have Microsoft, and we have Nintendo, and they each have their own platform. And so in the novel, I wanted to look at a smaller gaming company that would try to take on the big three in order to produce a game that would have worldwide success.
That was a large goal to take on, for sure. Now, also in the novel, we come across the topic of fine art. What was the importance of that in the book, and how did it come into the book?
Fine art comes in the form of one of the main characters, Bjorn Jacobs, and he happens to be both a sculptor and an artist. And so he is preparing for the show throughout the story. There's a romantic triangle between Bjorn and Julie and Frank Cullen, who are married at the beginning of the novel. And so Bjorn represents the artist, and he's preparing for this very big show that's about to happen. And at the last minute, some of his paintings get stolen. So we have that as an additional crime within the story itself.
Cool. So this romantic triangle, can you elaborate a little bit more on those characters?
We begin...
Is any one of them, for instance, the detective? Or?
No. We begin the story with Julie, who is an archaeologist, and married to Frank, who is the CEO of a small gaming company. And they have a rather rough relationship. Frank hosts an annual conference, and at that conference, in order to promote the arts, he invites Bjorn Jacobs along and unveils one of his paintings. And that's how Julie and Bjorn meet. And later, of course, they develop a relationship, and Julie is forced to choose between Frank and Bjorn.
So you do have a detective in your novel, so tell us a little about your detective.
I have a number of police officers. I guess the main detective would be a Detective Ryback, and he is investigating a series of crimes, armed robberies, committed by a fellow named Marlo, who happens to have a girlfriend named Sylvia. And she serves as kind of his getaway driver. And he plans a number of jobs which involve bank robberies. And so Ryback is on the trail of tracking down Marlo in order to arrest him for these bank robberies. In addition, Marlo plans a kidnapping of Ross, who is the son of Julie and Frank. And that comes into play in the selection that I'm going to share a little bit later.
Why don't you share that with us now, then?
Okay. This part of the novel occurs when Ross encounters Marlo in the mall, and that's where they first met as characters. Ross was playing the game for about half an hour when he felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned around. "Hey, dude, I've been looking for you for a while now. I called you on your cell, but you didn't pick up. I knew you couldn't stay away forever. I'm anxious for you to meet Cindy. I'll just give her a call. She's in the food court getting some Thai food. I'll have her order you some. Dump the game, dude. Let's go." It was Scott, looking weird and desperate. Was he jacked up or something? He sure looked stressed out. Nice to see you, Scott. Long time no see. Thanks for the offer, but I just ate a burger. I think I'll just stay here for a while before I go home. Hey, dude, I've been talking about you and Cindy and me getting together for a while." Ross was about to tell him no again when he saw him open his jacket just enough to reveal a gun tucked into his belt behind his black leather jacket. "As you can see, I brought along a friend. It's time we all got acquainted." "Scott, you're scaring me. Come on, Ross. We're friends, after all. I'm not going to hurt you." "I don't know, Scott." Ross could feel a cold shiver in his limbs. "Come on, let's go," said Scott, yanking him by the shoulder. There was no choice. They left the arcade and walked into the mall past the food court. As they rode up the escalator toward the exit, Ross could feel his heart pulsing, his body shaking, and his mind racing. "Look, Scott, what's this all about? Hey, dude, chill, will you?" Scott put his arm around Ross's shoulder and pulled him along. Ross pulled back. "Where are you taking me, Scott? And what's with the gun? I thought we were friends." "We are friends, dude. Just wait here for a minute and see while I make my phone call." Ross watched him reach into his jacket. He caught a glimpse of the gun again. Yeah, it's me. Yeah, I got him. Yeah, we'll meet you at the corner. Nah, just pull it up beside the curb." This was no random coincidence, thought Ross. Scott was obviously planning this for a while. Was this some kind of kidnapping going down?
I wonder. Thanks, Jim. Where can people buy your book, Power and Possessions?
It should be available on Amazon, and I've been talking to a number of local bookshops, as well as Furby's and perhaps some other independent bookstores. It's also available at the website for my publisher, Hiddenbrook Press. If you are looking for my book, of course, you'll need to look under my more formal name, James Ronson. That's how I'm publishing the book.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jim, or James in this case. And thanks very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you, too, to our listeners for joining us today. If you would like to send us comments, queries, or suggestions, please www.wordonthehills.com. And if you have missed any of our programs, you'll find them all archived at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. And you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. So thanks once again for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, Word on the Hills, Sunday, 1 o'clock, on Northumberland Radio 897.